The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
Yes, indeed, we've made it. It's time for the Friday edition of the Daily 10. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast each and every day. Or if you're just finding us, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, and you will have this podcast waiting for you each and every morning, wherever it is you get your favorite podcasts. We will get to a difficult Hawks loss, a bummer of a loss last night on the road coming up. And you'll hear from Arthur Smith, Falcons head coach, on the future of Julio Jones. But first, the Braves return home tonight, and they will be riding a three-game winning streak. The Braves swept the Nationals. Great to see that. The streakiness continues. More on that coming up in a minute. But for the Braves, who will start a six-game homestand and play 13 of their next 16 at Truist Park, it's good to come in riding some positive momentum. Braves were 3-2 winners yesterday in Washington to improve on the season to 15-16. It was great to see Drew Smyly win a game as a member of the Braves. He was really good yesterday for the first time. Six innings pitched, just gave up four hits, allowed one run, walked three, and struck out four. The bullpen also navigated through some difficult innings. Luke Jackson did a good job pitching out of a jam in the seventh. And yes, when the Luke Jackson experience is in, you buckle up, but he did a good job. Then the Braves turned to Edgar Santana. I'm not kidding. This is where the right-handed bullpen situation is until Chris Martin comes back. But Edgar Santana pitched himself into a jam in the eighth, but the great Grant Dayton put the fire out. But I'll mention, with the help of one of the worst strike three calls I've ever seen, and this is coming from someone rooting for the Braves. I'm glad they got the call, but we would have been hot if that was a strike three call on the Braves to end a potential rally the way it did the Nats. Then Will Smith pitched around a leadoff double in the ninth. He picked up his seventh save of the season, so all that is good news. Offensively, Marcell Ozuna, RBI double. He's now got a hit in nine of his last 10 games, 11 RBI over that stretch, and A-Ray Adrianza getting the start yesterday at third as Austin Riley moved to first. He had a big two-out, two-RBI single that gave the Braves a little breathing room at 3-0. So the Braves will welcome in the Phillies tonight at Truist Park, which will be at full capacity for the first time in 19 months. Should be a big Friday night, a big weekend crowd. Tonight, Charlie Morton gets the ball against Zach Eflin at 7:20. I saw a couple of interesting and frustrating numbers on Charlie Morton and his issues with runners on base through six starts this season. So with nobody on base, opponents are just hitting 160 with one home run and a 454 OPS against Charlie. Really good. With runners on base, opponents are hitting 356, three home runs, 17 ribs, and a 1.045 OPS against Charlie Morton. And the worst of all this, with runners in scoring position and two outs, opponents are hitting 417 with two home runs, 11 RBI, and a 1.533, a 1533 OPS against Mort. I don't think this is a reflection of Charlie Morton's stuff. The velocity is still great. The other pitches have looked good for most of his starts. Charlie's got 39 strikeouts and only 12 walks in 33 and a third, but it's the two-out damage he's given up. It's killed him in, I would bet, four or five of his six starts. That's certainly something you want to see him get a handle on, and I think he will, but it's been an issue up until this point. So I mentioned Adrianza started at third for the Braves yesterday. Austin Riley moved over to first. The Braves gave Freddie Freeman a day off, which is weird because Freddie never wants or needs a day off, especially after the team just had a day off Monday. The Braves will have another day off this upcoming Monday, but you know Freddie's scuffling right now. Through 30 games, Freeman is hitting .202. He does have seven home runs, 18 ribs, but only a .336 on base percentage, and he's only slugging .422. To give you a little context about that, a year ago in his MVP season, Freddie had a ridiculous 462 on base percentage, which that's not realistic. That was 60 games, but to do that over the long haul is not realistic. Freddie slugged 640, so those are reasons why he won the MVP. But even in years prior, Freddie's had on-base percentages of 388, 389, slugging percentages of 549 and 505. The good news is Freddie's still on pace for 37 home runs, 94 rips, but he just hasn't looked like himself for long stretches this season. Now, I'm not the least bit concerned if you tell me Freddie Freeman is healthy. If he's healthy, I don't give it one thought. He'll be fine. But if you are concerned about Freddie and it's not health related, then you're telling me you think the contract may be weighing on Freddie's mind. I don't know. I don't think it is, but I mean, we've heard situations where guys press extra hard in a contract year. That could be real, but it's more likely just a slump that really has gone over the last six games. Freddie is in a 1-for-24 slump. Eight strikeouts, but again, that's only six games. Now, I will say this. During spring training, Freddie talked about being a little distracted at the time with real-life things like being away from his newborns. Now you throw in the contract issue, and yes, you could make the case for it weighing on him. I'm not ready to go there yet because I know, and we all know, what Freddie Freeman, when healthy, will do. Braves-Phillies tonight from Truist Park. All right, let's transition to the Hawks, who lost on the road to the Pacers last night. 133-126. Now, you score 126 points, you should win 99 times out of 100. But the Hawks played very little defense last night. Combine that with the fact that the Pacers were red hot, and it was the second night of a back-to-back where the Hawks had to travel. So you can say those are excuses. They might be factors. But the Hawks seemed to step slow for the first three quarters before making a big-time comeback in the fourth. Indiana shot 62% from the floor. They scored 70 points in the paint, 7-0. The Hawks were down 14 at the half, 14 at the end of three. They made a couple of big runs in the fourth, getting within a point two different times, and they had a shot to take the lead on a little Capella bunny that rolled out. Indiana finished the game on an 11-5 run, so the Hawks suffer a very difficult loss. Trey scored 30, at 10 assists. Bogey went for 28. John Collins had 25-7. But the Hawks' loss now drops them a full game behind the Knicks in the chase for the home court spot in the first round. The Hawks are in fifth. They lead the Celtics and the Heat by a game. They do have the tiebreaker over both of those teams. The good news, the Hawks will enjoy 3 days off. Some good time to rest. And who knows, maybe DeAndre Hunter is back. Maybe. While the Hawks are off, the Knicks will play at Phoenix tonight. Then they'll travel to see the Clippers on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Heat and the Celtics, after playing tonight, will then meet Sunday head-to-head. So they'll have separate games tonight. They'll go head-to-head Sunday. And then they'll play the second of a home-and-home on Tuesday. So that could be a big help as Hawk fans are scoreboard-watching over the weekend. When the Hawks do return Monday night, they'll play the Wizards for the first of two straight at home. Then they'll finish their season at State Farm against the Orlando Magic and the Houston Rockets. It might need to be a four-game win streak combined with a stumble from the Knicks here on the West Coast to have a shot to get the four seed in the West. All right, one final story, in the East. I didn't realize the Hawks just moved to the West. One final story here I wanted to get to as Falcons rookie minicamp now begins in 1 week. Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Falcons, you know will have to answer a lot of questions about Julio Jones's future from local reporters at that time. Well, yesterday, Arthur Smith was making the rounds nationally, and he was on the Rich Eisen show. And Rich Eisen's just the latest, since all the rumors popped up, to ask Arthur Smith about Julio's future with the Falcons.
I'm not going to predict the future. It's like when you're sitting here trying to predict the weather here. We'll see what happens. I mean, the cap is what it is. We know that. That's why, Terry and I are sitting here, and I'm sitting here talking to you. There's a lot of ways to get under the cap, but all options are on the table.
I've told you what I want. See, there's a difference in like the fan in me and what the business move is. The fan in me wants Julio Jones here because I know a 32-year-old Julio, even at his advanced age and some of the injury concerns, still provides a lot more if you're really trying to win games, which they said they are. Julio's presence, more than his cap space, allows you to do that. The business side, trading Julio opens up a good amount of cap room. It lessens the cap charge, the dead money charge, if they do it post June 1 to split it over 2 years. All that makes perfect sense in my business mind. Again, I want Julio here because I'd love to see Julio and Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley in the backs and all the options that Arthur Smith would have. I just get the gut feeling, listen to Terry Fontenot earlier in the week, the Falcons GM, and Arthur Smith right there, that they are leaning towards trading Julio if they get the right trade, which to me sounds like if they get a second-round pick, who knows, maybe a third, they would make the move and deal Julio Jones. All right, if you guys would, hit that subscribe button for me. If you're new to the podcast, hit that, and it'll be waiting for you each and every day, Monday through Friday, around 10 a.m. at your favorite podcast platforms. I would ask again, if you guys would, please rate the pod. It takes 10 seconds, and do a 5-star. Even if you're lying, it's okay. We'll forgive you. Leave a 5-star rating. Leave a review as well. And when you see me promote this on social media, if you would, give it a retweet. Or a like, that would also be appreciated. I'll be with Chuck Oliver this afternoon in Atlanta on 680 The Fan at 3 o'clock, and we're back Monday for the next edition of the Daily 10.
Subscribe to the Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.